There's nothing like League. And this is the Betfred Super League.
Everyone, and welcome along to Tissues Out, the last Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast for 2023. It's been a fantastic year for Rugby League and a great year for us too. Thanks to Betfred for all of their support and to all of you who've tuned our way in great numbers this year. We really do appreciate all of your support, don't we, Steve-O?
We sure do, and it surprised me that there's still so many people out there that like us.
Well, they want to hear the words of wisdom dripping from the mouth of Mr. Stevenson.
I wouldn't say dripping, but yeah, I know what you mean. Listen, deep thanks to everybody. We enjoy it, and we hope that you still will enjoy it, especially the last one.
Absolutely. And apologies, we didn't have the promised interview with Lee Breers last week. I'm afraid that Lee was caught up in some serious family business. He couldn't make it. But he has promised to talk to us again at the start of next season. So we'll catch up with him once he's back home in Brisbane in the new year. So the curtain came down on 2023 at Headingley on Saturday. And England swept to a 3-0 series whitewash against Tonga with an impressive 26-4 win. Sean Wayne got his wish, Steve-O. England did really, really well.
They certainly did. A lot of people are saying that Tonga weren't all that good. Look, when you look through the amount of players that they have in regards to playing at the top level, then they are a good side. And for once, I've got to take my hat off to Sean Wayne, because I thought the defence was superb. There was no way in the world that Tonga was going to take control of that game. The defensive pattern was outstanding, and I'm sure that Sean Wayne will be looking forward to more international success, because all he has to do now is to keep that formation in regards to defence and then just work with the young players that he's got in attack. And
absolutely,
we're capable of doing that.
Indeed so. I mean, Mikey Lewis, he didn't play on Saturday, replaced by the skipper, George Williams. A few people said it was a bit harsh in many ways. He was man of the match in the first test, but totally understandable. With those two, Williams and Lewis, Harry Smith thrown into the mix as well. Hey, Steve-O, we've got some young halfbacks at last.
About time, isn't it? Look, so often in the past, we've gone for tried and trusted players. We still need a certain amount of those players that have got the experience. But that's the best way, is to bring young people in. And I'm pleased for Wayne. He wants it his way. He's not given any direction in regards to I'm going to do this or whatever. He knows exactly what he wants out of the team. And he performed well. He got the best out of them in all those three tests. Well done.
Yeah, hear, hear to that. Good old Sean Wayne. Well done. And Lee Breers, who, of course, was his right-hand man. And I believe Sam Burgess was involved in some way or other during the series too. But you mentioned this young side, Steve-O, that we've got. And it's really good news, this, because look at it. We've got Welsby, Matty Ashton, Harry Newman, Danny Walker, Lewis and Smith. The future looks absolutely bright, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. And we've still got, you know, other players that are on the fringe. Look, it was a bit harsh, I suppose, in many ways, that George Williams had to come back for the third. Look, he was the captain. He's got to be in front there. He's a great leader and he's a great player. But his suspension gave the opportunity, didn't it? for all the others to come to the fore. And I thought they played exceptionally well. Michael Lewis, we know what he's capable of doing. We've seen that playing for Hull Kingston Rovers. He's got a great step. He's got a good attacking ability. And the confidence that he will have gained from having, what, man of the match in that first game, it'll just boost him. It'll just, sometimes you need that one game, that one piece of energy that goes through, and it lifts you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And at the other end of the age scale, what a lovely day for Elliot Whitehead, who announced his international retirement before the game. He got a try at Headingley. He actually might have had two.
Yeah. Listen, he was one of the, shall we say, stalwarts in the side. A lot of people, obviously, the youngsters looked up to him because he's a very, very talented player. You don't play so long in the NRL and not be classified as one of the game's best.
Yeah, happy retirement to Elliot Whitehead. He's got another year in the club game, and then at the end of 24, he packs it all in. Steve O'Tonga, I must say, for all we're waxing lyrical about England, and rightly so, they were a disappointment, although Christian Wolff, and he's been in charge for 10 years, he insists they deserved a bit better.
Well, there were certain periods in all those three tests where they had the opportunity to score tries. I can remember, especially at Huddersfield, there was maybe two, three opportunities where they just lost the ball, just dropped the ball with virtually the try line at their mercy. So they've just got to get themselves a little bit tighter in there. You say that they've been there for 10 years. Yes, it is a long time. But I think that people are sort of criticising them and saying, you know, they weren't all that good. The reason why they weren't all that good is for England's defence, for a change, was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. There was a little bit of vitriol between the two coaches about the state of the pitches, about the conditions, but gentlemen, it's October.
It's hot air.
And it stoked up the fumes, to be fair.
Well, the media love it. The fans love it. You can't have that. Listen, I'm sick and tired of listening to coaches that are boring. Yes, well, we didn't play that well. Look, at least Sean Wade, he come out and said, I'm not satisfied with it. It was my fault, blah, blah, blah. How many? Because he gives energy not only to himself but to the players, and that's what we need. You know, the reason why Tonga weren't all that good is because our defence was brilliant, and I'll say it again.
You've just said it again and again and again. And just a word about the conditions. This is the United Kingdom. It rains in October and November. anyway, there we go. 2024, Steve-O, Samoa come here at the moment. 2025, an Ashes series. Then the World Cup in 2026. There seems to be an international plan in place.
Whoopee. I'm so, so happy about it. Because we were on the verge, Eddie, of allowing Australia to break away from international sporting history. Because they were saying state of origin is the only real competition that we can get for our players. In other words, they were saying, you know, New Zealand's no good, England's no good, etc. and so forth. France will never be as good. And lo and behold, what do the Kiwis do last weekend? Wallop the Aussies. Oh, I was doing handstands.
Well, I'm sure you'll be going back home to Australia shortly, and you'll be having a few drinks and drinking out and eating out on that result. 30 points to nil, Steve-O, for New Zealand. A record defeat for the Kangaroos, worst in their history. But look, let's not get carried away. Neither New Zealand or Australia will be standing still and looking back at that and saying, well, we can do better. They will do better.
Oh, of course. I mean, the Kiwis, certainly, when you beat Australia 30-0, record, you get to the situation whereby maybe things have got to change. Maybe we've got to get a look at changing a few things here, there and everywhere. And they will. Let's not forget, Australia did defeat the Kiwis in the first one. So we're not going to get carried away, but it just shows you that you have the opportunity that there will always be a chance. If you break down the Australian defence, then they could fall apart. And that's what they did. The Kiwis did that. And Australia, not to score a point, oh, break out the champagne. I'm going to the fridge now. I'm going to break out the champagne.
Yeah, it's almost unheard of. It really is. Well done for them. To the Kiwis. That was the Pacific Cup final on Saturday, the first ever, and it was played in Hamilton in New Zealand. Only 13,000 turned up. That's disappointing. And to be fair, our crowds for our tests, not crash hot. Headingley, 15,000. Look great. Saints, 12,500. Huddersfield, 11,002. The Rugby League reported to be considering a change of direction in terms of test venues. Surely Wigan and Hull have got to come in to the equation. They're the hotbeds. But there are calls for London, Newcastle and Coventry. Now, why? That's a bit risky, isn't it?
Well, especially with the fact that they're trying to get rid of the, shall we say, the best attended game that we have, which is the Magic Weekend.
Yes.
So why on earth are they throwing out different cities?
Look, well, maybe Newcastle will take a test and they'll lose the Magic, but although the Magic's in next year. It's so confusing.
Well, it changes all the time, doesn't it? And as far as change is concerned, look, all these new rules, all these things that IMG have brought in, right, you can't tell me that they can't be changed. They're not set in stone.
No.
All these rules, regulations, laws, call it whatever you want, they're always there to be broken.
Many rules? How many rules have you broken in your life? Come on.
Nearly as many as the times I've broken my nose. Simple as that. I mean, I always thought to myself, if it breaks again, I think I had it broken 13 times during my playing career.
Oh, you're joking.
And I'm saying to myself, I remember saying to the surgeon many, many, many moons ago, I said, look, if it breaks again, I might have a nose as big as Eddie Aaron's.
How very rude. How very dare you. How very dare you. Before we leave the international scene, a quick mention to England's women. 60-0 winners over Wales at Headingley in the curtain raiser to the Tonga test. And the world champion England wheelchair team, well, this time beaten in a repeat of the World Cup final by France, 34-43. Well done to the England women, and the England wheelchair team will come back bigger and stronger, I'm sure, in 2024. So 2023 is all put to bed, Steve-O. Now the preparations start for next season. The clubs are pretty busy in the transfer market. One notable deal I've seen, Richie Myler is leaving Leeds Rhinos for the championship club York. And Leeds have announced the signing of a 23-year-old, Kieran Hudson from Castleford. Now, you'll know his granddad, of course, the late, great John Holmes. This Kieran was on the books of Sunderland Football Club. He came to rugby league via Newcastle originally. He seems to be a really promising youngster, and Leeds have swooped in for him.
If he becomes only 25% as good as John Holmes, he will be a star. That's wow. How good John Holmes was as a player, and equally so as a man. A very, very close friend of mine. It was so sad to see him leave this life at an early age. He was sensational. I just can't think of anyone who was as good.
Wow, that's a big statement. Well, Kieran Hudson's got something to live up to then, hasn't he? The grandson of John Holmes. What about Richie Myler? What about him going to the championship club, York? I mean, is this a sign that York are still hoping against hope that they will be in Super League one of these days?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, for the people who are running the organisation, they don't want to just stand still. They don't want to say, oh, we're an also-ran. They want to make sure that York comes back into the limelight. And slowly but surely, they're getting themselves organised. And look, the experience that Richie Myler will bring to that club is outstanding, both on and off the field of play. And that's where you've got to start. You've got to start somewhere. We've seen it with the Lee Leopards. Look, it's all about starting from scratch, building. The difficulty, and I hate to bring it up yet again, is do we have enough money to make it a better game, to make it, shall we say, a better standard? And that is the biggest problem that we have, because as you well know, that New Zealand and Australia, the amount of money that is coming into each individual club is outstanding. We don't have that over in this country. We've seen it perhaps in a little way down in the south of France, with Catalan.
That's true. There are some people joining clubs, though, who have got a few bob in their back pocket. I mean, Sam Powell of Wigan, for instance, is apparently on Warrington's radar. That seems strange, because Warrington already got Brad Dwyer back, and they've got the England international hooker now, Dan Walker, as their number nine. Wakefield have signed Jermaine McGilvery after his somewhat vitriolic departure from Huddersfield. If you look down the list of all the clubs, go on the website, everybody, have a look at the ins and outs of the clubs. Blimey, there's some men changing positions, changing clubs, retiring, moving on, going here, going there. So there is money about, Steve-O, there's no doubt about that.
Yes, but it's the amount, Eddie. It's the amount in regards to attendances at the gates. We've got to make sure that we just cannot rely solely on sponsorship money, television money. And we all know that the Sky deal is a lot less than what we normally get. So we're not going in the right direction. The sponsors are getting being reduced, whereas in Australia, they're going up. Simple as that. And we've got to try, and I hope IMG have got it right, and only time will tell whether that is going to be capable to bring the crowds back. I think a good start is the International Federation. They're getting their act together in regards to, we're going to have bring back the Lions tours, the Kangaroo tours, and that in itself brings more interest with the youngsters. It also brings more crowds to the games, because we've lost that. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, a lot of Australians say, oh, we can't be bothered with international because, let's face it, the state of origin is the greatest competition in the world, blah 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 blah. So at least the International Federation are trying their best to bring that back, because as a youngster, I wanted to play for Great Britain. I wanted to go on a tour. I wanted to play against a tour in New Zealanders and a tour in Kangaroos. It's every young lad's ambition to do that, and every young girl's ambition to do that now.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, players, by the way, going in the opposite direction to the NRL. I'm always saddened when stars of the Super League disappear to Australia. Morgan Smithies of Wigan, he's going to Canberra, and apparently Canberra are also interested in Lewis Dodd of St Helens. I want to see, Steve-O, the best players in our game playing in our sport in this country. I don't want them 12,000 miles away. That's probably selfish and stupid, but you know what I mean.
It's difficult, Eddie, because when a club from down under decides to say, well, we'd like that player, the clubs in this country can't afford to keep him.
No. Well, they paid a lot of money for Morgan Smithies, apparently, Canberra.
A big
transfer fee.
Eddie, there's no way in the world I went to Australia to play with Penrith just because it's very hot and sunny in summer. I went for the money.
Of course you did.
I went to ensure that my family, that everything was going to be A-OK, because I was earning a pittance whilst I was playing at Dewsbury. No offence, it was the run of the mill in regards to wage payments. I was only being paid X amount per game. You got half that amount if you lost, so it was a winning bonus. But that bonus was nothing like the contract that I signed to go and play down under.
You've always been a mercenary, you. Always. You only came to Sky for the big money. I know that. And I'm not saying that with any bitterness.
I tell you what, I don't know where you've got that. You and your lovely wife have been away on 10 cruises this year alone.
And you always, always have had a propensity for exaggeration, Mr. Stevenson.
Well,
you
I'll
really
put it
have.
This way. At one point, I honestly thought you'd robbed a post office.
A post office. You're showing your age. Look, we're talking about signings. How's London doing, Steve? I know you're close to the London owner, David Hughes. How are they going in terms of signings? And talking of David, he must be a bit miffed, mustn't he? They gained promotion to Super League 1 week. They're now rated no higher than 24th in this list produced by IMG of their initial gradings. It indicates to me, no matter what London do next year, even if they win the flipping thing, they'd be relegated. It's so negative, this.
Well, it looks negative when you think about it, but there are opportunities to improve in crowd structure and everything else that IMG have come up with. But as I mentioned earlier, all right, these are new rules. These are new laws. These are new things that they want to do. But that does not mean that they can't contest them. That doesn't mean to say, I mean, there could be a point where if, say, half a dozen clubs don't reach that, they could all be round about in the 15th place and lower and 20th place, etc. and so forth. It can work the other way as well. So if IMG stick to whatever they say, it could create a bigger problem.
Good.
They have to become flexible. I mean, we've already, I think it's Lee that have complained about that they gave them the wrong zone in, etc., and they lost points.
Yes, and Castleford and, the same.
Yeah, and look, that doesn't mean to say that that can't be changed. There has to be flexibility. In this day and age, you've got to have that flexibility in everything that you're doing, everything that we're involved with. You know, you buy a car, is it flexible? Well, yes. Well, can I knock 2,000 or 3,000 off it? So we've got to be aware that we can fight against what we call down as the rules.
I just wonder, David Hughes, you know him better than anybody. If I were him, Steve-O, if I'm honest, having looked at this list now, I would be tempted to say, you know, thanks very much for your offer of Super League next year, but you know what? If I'm going to get relegated, no matter where I finish, I don't think I'll bother.
Yeah, but you're not David Hughes.
No, I know. I know.
Simple as that. David, born and bred in Swinton, brought up loving the Swinton players, rugby league. He's rugby league through and through. I don't know any other person that has devoted so much time and money into rugby league. And not just the London Broncos, in many other things, you know, donating money to having the statue built at Wembley, etc. and so forth. You know, this man, in my opinion, deserves to get a king's honour, because what he has done off the field of play, not just in London, but for rugby league in general, he deserves some acknowledgement.
He does. He does. And as you say, he's been around for a long, long time. I mean, that's only my opinion. I appreciate that David is steeped in the game.
You know David inside out as well, Eddie, and he'll just be laughing.
Well, he'll be happy we're talking about him.
Yeah, but he'll look at me and he'll smile and it'll mean to say, poor Eddie.
A lot of people do that, Steve-O, don't worry. Look, talking about people who deserve the King's accolades and all this other business, Sir Kevin Sinfield, for God's sake, let's give him the flipping knighthood now, because he's on his way again, Steve-O. 7-7, an epic challenge in support of the MND community. Rob Burrow, Lindsay Burrow have been all over the television this week talking about Rob and talking about MND, and Kevin Sinfield is set to pull on his running trainers once again after launching an epic challenge to raise awareness and funds for those impacted by motor neurone disease. Last year, he completed his third challenge, running 40 miles a day in 7 days. Now, he's doing the same again, but he's going to England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales. I mean, this bloke, he's finished now with Rugby Union. Give him a knighthood, for goodness sake. Get him back. Get him back into Rugby League. We need him. We need him back.
Yeah, of course we do. And I bumped into him last Saturday at Headingley, and I always congratulate him because he's doing a marvellous job, as he just explained. But I always ask him one thing. When are you coming back to the greatest game of all? And it was a cheeky smile. It was a cheeky smile. Didn't have to say anything. And that, to me, said it all. And I'm with you, Eddie. Every rugby league fan all over the world know exactly what this man has achieved.
Yes.
And we call him Sir Kev anyway.
I know, just for kicking goals, not for running 40 miles a day times 300 miles a week. Good Lord above. And we used to give him that, and I can't understand it. You say rugby league fans all over the world, you're right. Football fans all over the world, politicians all over the world, charity people all over the world, they all know Kevin Sinfield. Give him the gong in the New Year's Honours List. Please, please, let's come back next year and we can say, we've done it, Steve-O, we've got him the gong.
And he will, I suppose, in many ways, become the first man involved in rugby league to be knighted. Now, mm-hmm. I know Sir Rodney Walker, but Sir Rodney Walker wasn't knighted for his work in rugby league. It was for his charities.
Well, the same might happen and be said about Kevin.
Yes, but he started out with trying to get money for a former rugby league player.
I know.
Rob Barrow, a star. So as far as I'm concerned, yes, of course he's doing it for all the world, but the bottom line is not only to bring it to everyone's attention, but what a great man Rob Barrow is, and is one of his best mates. Now, to me, that's rugby league. That's the strength that we have. A lot of people knock our game, but I'm telling you now, when it comes to push and shove, boy, we have a lot of people and we have a lot of power.
We do. We do. Hear, hear to all of that. And let's wait and see and keep our fingers crossed. Okay, we're looking back on 2023, looking forward to 2024. As you look back on the year just gone, Steve-O, here's, I'm going to drop this right on your toes now. Player of the Year 2023, who was it? They gave it to Bevan French. He was the man of steel. Who was yours?
Well, I've picked out three. Bevan French, outstanding throughout the season, right? The class of James Robey. That wouldn't have irritated me one iota if they'd have said James Robey, the best player of the season. And I think I'd just leave it at that. Bevan French, outstanding. But to me, James Robey in his last season was just outstanding.
He was. You said three. Have you got another name?
George Williams is a tremendous player, and I think that is going to be a key factor alongside the new Warrington coach, Sam Burgess. A lot of people are sort of suggesting that will this be the season?
No.
In your area, Eddie, where you live and breathe.
Don't mention that.
You keep saying it every single... Yeah. Eddie Hemmings has got the curse on Warrington yet again.
I'm not going to mention it ever again.
But I can assure you, look, Sam Burgess will be a good coach. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy for him. But the combination of George Williams has had the experience, so has Sam Burgess in playing down under. They know exactly what's needed. And if they combine one off the field, Sam Burgess, and one on the field, George Williams, then yes, they've got a great opportunity. But it's not going to be easy.
Here's one for
you, Eddie. I think we will see a resurgence of the Leeds Rhinos.
Well, they're busy in the market, aren't they? Definitely.
Yeah, well, Brodie Croft and the Ackers, two very, very influential players, top quality players. And they're the two positions where Leeds have suffered. over a period of time.
Right. So maybe 2024 would belong to Leeds. Maybe 2024 would belong to Warrington. Who's your team of the year, 2023?
Now, that's difficult. But after analysing for at least 15 seconds, thank you, Eddie. No, it has to be Wigan. Yeah, I think Wigan, having so many young, new kids coming to the fore, a great coach. Doesn't get flustered, doesn't get overexcited. He just knows what he wants.
He doesn't get beyond himself either. So I take it that Matty Peat, your coach of 2023.
Of course.
Okay. I thought it might be. All right, let's see. Let's see what happens in 2024. Catalan came close. Warrington, it's going to be their year. You heard it first here from Steve-O because of Sam Burgess and George Williams. and who knows else? Leeds Rhinos are coming back from the dead. Right, we'll see what happens in 2024, Steve-O.
Having said that, Eddie, I reckon Catalan will struggle next year. They are losing so many top quality players.
They are.
And it's going to be a matter of thrusting quite a few of the lower grades, the juniors, and trying to get them into 100% thinking, solid, get behind the team. They're always going to be difficult, especially when they play at home. They've always got that advantage, as every other club does. But mentally, a lot of players think, oh, you know, I'm going down to the south of France. I wonder where we're going for a drink afterwards. It does come into the players' minds. I can assure you of that. So I think Catalan have to be very, very careful that they've got to recruit very wisely.
Indeed,
because
so.
Because there's quite a few of their players that... have given their all, have given their best, and they need new blood.
Well, they're going to get that in numbers, and it's a massive job for Steve McNamara. We wish them well down there. Listen, this podcast would never be complete without the news and the gossip from Australia. So for the last time in 2023, Steve-O, what have you got for us from, what do they call it, the land of make-believe? No, from the NRL in Australia.
Well, we've already sort of mentioned the celebration that I've had in regards to the Kiwis absolutely launching themselves 30-0 over Australia. Unbelievable. But I can't say farewell without giving a really good rap for Michael Maguire, the New Zealand coach. He has now been appointed the New South Wales coach for the next series down under. And is the first time, really, that you'd have to call him a part-time, because he'll still be looking after the international section, New Zealand, and he'll be looking after the New South Wales job. That's not easy, but Michael Maguire, a lot of people thought he was finished. I mean, he did a wonderful job at Wigan, and is still doing a wonderful job down under. So that's it. It's farewell. See you next year.
Indeed so. And may I be the very first in the middle of November. I'm not going to sing a Christmas carol, but Steve-O, happy Christmas. All the very best for 2024. And fingers crossed, we'll see you again in the new season, or at least talk to you again in the new season. How's that? Okay?
I look forward to it. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.